Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
It's Time Escaping by Big Thief. I'm sending that out to Santi Aldama, who stood with the ball as time escaped on him last night.
Let's start there then. What did you think of the 5-second call to play?
So I've seen a couple people on social media, like, you know, with the video stamp, and say it was 6.3 seconds. It was in or 6 seconds or whatever, which is still actually pretty quick for a 5-second call, honestly. But both of the videos I saw, people started the clock the second the ball touched Aldama's hands. I don't think that's the way it works. The referee hands the ball to Aldama, takes a step to the side and signals with his hand. That's only 1 second.
Right.
But if you start it at that moment, I'm not saying it was an incorrect call, but it was right at 5 seconds. Like, right. There was no grace. And to me, in that moment, just as a basketball fan, it's like I don't like ticky-tack travel calls. Like, let players decide the game. And, like, if it gets, like, 6.5, sure, blow it. But, like, don't be in a hurry to blow a 5-second call in that situation. People want to see the final play, you know? So, like, the Grizzlies didn't execute it well, but I think they got no grace from the official on that.
Okay. On the not executing it well part of that, I wonder, like, as they size up Isolo's chances in the end, like, in the end, there's a 5-second call that you didn't execute, critical moment of a game. Like, is Santi shouldn't have had to let go of the ball no matter what? Like,
yeah,
Santi had to let go of the ball.
I mean, it's hard to pick apart the coaching stuff from the player stuff on that. And I have not Zapruder filmed it. The reality is, in basketball, and we don't have a choice, we talk about what would happen, but most of us have not gone back in slow motion the game, right? And you're guessing half the time of what you think you see, unless you go back and watch film in basketball. It didn't jump out to me as a particularly well-designed play call. I'm not a coach, but it didn't say, you know, I think, you know, there's probably coaching criticism to be levied there. The same time, like, you got to get the ball in. And so I think it's both. And also, like, the officials are quick on the 5-second call. They weren't quick to call fouls when, like, guys are being held. Like, John Morant and Jared are being held, right?
Right, yes.
So, like, either, like, you know, either be willing to call anything that you see that's you know, a violation, or, like, let it go a little bit. And so, to me, I didn't really like, from both an officiating standpoint and a Grizzly standpoint, I don't think things went well on the final play. But here's the other thing about it. There were, at that point, from the second the ball is put in Santi Aldama's hands, there are multiple hurdles in front of the Grizzlies to win that game. And they did not get past the first hurdle, and that was frustrating.
Right.
But the odds were stacked up against them to get through the rest of the hurdles at that point, too.
No,
because even if you get it, if you inbounds it, you're probably going to not make the shot. Even if you make the shot, it's a shot to tie.
Right.
And now you're going your tie game in overtime in their building, with Morant hurt and Scottie Pippen is now fouled out, who's your best defender on staff. And if you want to question Isolo, I think that's more fertile ground for questioning, because that's not subject to interpretation. They knew they had to foul, and he had Pippen in the game with 5 fouls, risking him fouling out when you're trying to get to overtime to begin with. Lionel Hollins did this once upon a time in that triple overtime game where he put O.J. Mayo in to foul when he had five, and I was sitting courtside. I looked in O.J. Mayo's face as he looked to Lionel Hollins and waved his hand and said, I got five, and Lionel put him in anyway, and he fouled out. So that was a coaching error.
I actually think in terms of the hurdles, and Jeffrey and I talked about this earlier, if you're going to circle one moment or one play, it would be with 2:05 left, they're trailing 111-109. They have the ball in transition, and Ja turns it over.
Was that the one where he tried to force the pass to Edie, and it was a bad pass?
Bad pass to Edie, and then they go back right after that, and Steph hits the three, and basically, at that point, it's your climbing.
Ja did that like three times in the last 2 minutes in the game 2 weeks ago against Golden State, and I had noted that. And that was only one, but the one was bad enough. And to me, they've gotten turnovers trying to force stuff to Edie, but in those moments,
can't do it.
Right, can't do it.
He's not fruitful to throw it to him anyway.
Like, well, it's not like it was a good pass. Right, it's not like he bobbled a pass right in his hands. It was a bad decision on the front end and a bad pass. And so, yeah, I agree. That was a bad play.
So what was your fundamental takeaway from the game?
It's sort of what Isolo said, his quote, the Drew sort of put in his headline of, like, you know, this has been the story. The story is this has been the story. And it's been a situation where, and I know, and to me, the evidence on Isolo is totally mixed. To me, it's not strong either way about what his future should be. But I do think if you're watching the games closely, I know the outcomes haven't changed that much. But if you look at the Grizzlies over the past 2 weeks and then compare that to the previous 2 weeks, sort of that coaching change departure, I think when you factor in the schedule and you factor in their diminishing options, continuing to diminish options, I think they played better. It's just they're getting, instead of losing by 15, you know, against Portland and Sacramento, they're getting in these games where it's like a jump ball game with 3 minutes to go against Golden State, against Denver, and the other teams have better best players, frankly, have more experienced best players, and you're just looking up and you got like five or six guys you can believe in. And like, this may sound like a rationale, but I think I'm just trying to figure out what's true. It is super easy to look at that game last night and say, well, if you had Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells, you're probably winning that game.
Right.
If you had Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells at Denver, you're probably winning that game, right? And so I think for all the problems that they have and the problems that are sort of inherent in some of the roster flaws, which we've been talking about, losing Wells and Clark were just absolutely killers for this team, not in terms of their ability to like go on a run in the playoffs, because that was not going to happen, but in terms of getting to the playoffs and like putting up a fight, like it just killed them not having those guys.
Yeah. Tip of the hat to you, because you, two things that we talked about in advance, and by the way, this goes to, like, people may look at Isolo, the L's, and, you know, the 5 second call, but you wondered out loud whether they would start Scottie Pippen Jr.
That was the right decision.
And you wondered out loud whether we would see some John Conchar.
That was the right decision too, given their options. Those were both good decisions.
And they played out pretty well, I thought.
No, and who knows, like, Vince Williams was terrible in 3 minutes.
Oh.
If you play him six, does it get better? Maybe, maybe not. But in that situation, you put him out there for three, it's not working, you pull the plug. It's probably right coaching decisions all around. Getting Pippen out there and having him on Curry as much as possible was the right decision. And you got to play somebody. And, like, I thought the reason I had suggested Conchar might play, I thought there were some clues that he might play, but the reason I thought that was probably a thing they should do is because in this specific matchup, the thing you really need is awareness. Guys who are not just, like, getting lost in the heat of the moment and the ball's moving and players are moving and you got to sort of have your head in the game. And for all of Conchar's limitations and physicality and skill, his head is in the game, right? He's an active player, and so I thought he gave them good minutes, yeah.
Also right from the jump, they had Edie. Well, you wondered if they would not have Jaren on Jimmy Butler because of the foul issues. You thought they might do Dez on him, and they did Edie.
Yeah, my guess was halfway right. And to me, this is a very debatable coaching thing. And my initial reaction was it was a coaching mistake. My thoughts are a little bit more complicated on that now that I've gone into a little bit more. But so 2 weeks ago when they played against Golden State, they opened the game with Jaren guarding Butler, Zach Edie guarding Draymond Green, Desmond Bane guarding Moses Moody. And my suggestion was you flop two of those three things. I would have kept Edie on Green, and then you flop Jaren on Moody, Bane on Butler to try to ease the Jaren foul trouble. So what they did was they flipped Jaren onto Green and Edie onto Butler, and part of the rationale was to mitigate the Jaren foul trouble, which worked, but now you have Zach Edie guarding Jimmy Butler, right? Jimmy Butler goes for 38. Nate Duncan, I'll give him credit, who was at the game because it was he lives in that area, asked Isolo about this, and he played the audio, the full answer audio on his podcast, which I'll do this morning. And there was a lot of rationales to that, and a lot of them made sense. And the reaction that Nate and his co-host Danny had was like, you know, it worked out okay. Like, you know, they lost the game, and Butler had a big night scoring-wise, but, like, he made two threes. He wasn't, like, the sagging off wasn't that. And, like, it helped in some other areas, and, like, you're in the game at the end. And so I don't know whether that was the right call. I think I still would have done it the way I suggested and kept Edie on Green, but I don't know that that was some like coaching error that cost them the game either. Because there were other factors that Isolo talked about why they did that.
Thoughts on Zach Edie?
So I made the mistake of going on Twitter this morning. I wish people would just gravitate more to Blue Sky. You don't have to create content for Elon Musk. You do have options. But I went on Twitter, and apparently my feed is well-cultivated. Because I saw tons of people defending Zach Edie against the charges, but I saw none of the charges. So the thing about Edie is he's the kind of player right now who the bad parts of his game, his bad moments, they jump up and they wave their arms and say, hey, everybody, look at me, look right, at this right. bad moment.
Right.
And the good parts of his game are things people just dismiss because, oh, it's because he's big. He's got all these rebounds because he's 7'5 or 7'4. Well, that's why he's good.
Right.
You know, it reminds me back in the day, the early Grizzlies in Memphis era, rest in peace to former radio host Jeff Weinberger. He used to complain all the time about Pau Gasol and his plastic points. This guy gets plastic points. He gets all these easy open dunks.
Right.
And I used to say all the time, he's 7'1".
And he runs like
and he runs like he runs the floor right, and he can finish with either hand right. and he's second in the NBA in dunks after Shaq, and that's why he's good.
Right.
You know? And that's the thing with Edie. You know, he just gets all these rebounds because he's big. Yeah, that's why he's good. I think like, I found myself yelling at Edie on the TV. Like, I was like, go quicker. Like, make a quicker decision.
It's incredible.
No, it's frustrating.
That he was this good at Purdue, and he is so tentative.
Yeah.
No, whether it's super he's passing out of the double team or in.
He's super frustrating, and guess what? They were better with him on the floor.
By 6 points.
And so I am frustrated by Edie's bad moments in a game like that. I share the frustration. I get it. I see it, too. And yet, rookie center in his first ever postseason game, like on the road against Golden State. I generally feel really good about that. I'm excited about what he can be next season if he can keep getting a little bit better.
Well, and we've talked about this before. I just think the things that are frustrating me are things that are totally fixable.
A lot of the defensive stuff, not necessarily.
By the way, he didn't have any blocks, but he changes a lot of
yes,
shots.
Yes, 100%.
Changes a lot. And so, but all that often, the weird thing is we thought he would be a force offensively, and we were wrong.
The more consistent finishing, the quicker finishing, the reading double teams better, he's all that stuff can fixable. Get fixed. This dude is going to rattle off 2015 games next season. He really is.
I agree with that completely. So I'm not pounding him.
And if you have Brandon Clark, you have more outs to go to defensively if you think his defense right. is a problem, which they just don't have right now.
Okay, take the—
By the way,
yeah.
speaking of that, Santi, a little bit of the GOAT because he held the ball and got the 5-second call. I thought Santi played a good game,
yeah.
and he was bad in the previous game against Golden right. State. And that was someone I was looking at, like, are you there for this game? Are you there for it in this game? And I wasn't sure if he would be, and I think he was, other than that 5-second call.
Vince was not there for it.
No.
Are you worried it's just going to chalk up the Vince? I mean, it is amazing. You look at it was going to be Marcus Smart,
yeah.
or it was going to be Gigi, or it was going to be Vince, and it's none of them. And are you just chalking all this up to, in terms of what you're counting on him being for the Grizzlies next year, where are you?
I still believe that if we're assuming health, and he's had problems staying healthy, so that's the other thing. But if he is healthy, I still think Vince Williams is a high floor player. I don't know about the ceiling, right?
Right.
But in terms of a guy who can be like the eighth guy in your rotation, who's like, you know, giving you hustle plays and sprinkling in some rebounds and some passes and some steals and just giving you minutes of energy off the bench, I have full faith that he can be at least that. Can he be more than that? That I'm less sure about now.
Bane was great.
Yeah.
Ja was gutty and all of that stuff, and very good, but also the five turnovers, you know.
Only three assists, and that's a thing I've noticed lately. Like, the assist numbers are down. They've gone back to more Josh-centric, but it's more Josh-centric looking to score, right. And I don't think that's the best. That's the best Grizzlies basketball, and so going forward, whether Isolo's the coach or someone else is, I would get away from
just...
Well,
it's the Ja-Jaren balance, too, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, you know, in the same podcast, Nate's podcast I listened to, and they sort of got into this. They were talking about how, like, apparently there were a couple plays late, and I have to go back and watch where they ran, like, a Ja-Jaren pick and roll and got good shots out of it, and they're like, huh, why don't they do that more? Well, what happened to that, right. You know? So I think the getting the Ja-Jaren together interaction more is something that the next coach should focus on going into next season, which gets you back to Jaren, and I mentioned Blue Sky. I didn't do a lot of game posting. I did a little bit all over there last night, but one of the posts I did make was to say Jaren has got to be more of an impact player on both ends of the floor in this game, and he wasn't.
Right.
He was not. I wouldn't say he was bad. It was a mixed bag, but he was just okay, and just okay was not good enough for him in that game.
Yeah. I agree with that fundamentally. So the turnovers, by the way, I mean, you talk about it's more of the same. Some of this is more of the same. The recent vintage we've seen coming close and against good teams and losing, right. Nevertheless. But the turnovers have been a problem, obviously, all year long.
Yeah.
So what do you ascribe that? I mean, honestly, the Warriors are tremendous defensively.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, the turnover problems in the first half last night are necessarily the same as the turnover problems they had in the first half of the season.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know. But it was a problem last night.
Ja says he's going to play. Nice. Of course, that's a good thing to say. But we'll
it's
see
heat
how
the moment. I mean, yes. Sleep on it, and the doctors look at it, and we'll see.
We'll see what it looks like.
It didn't look great. Even when he played, it didn't look great. And this is not a team that's on the cusp of a title and you push through. This is not Isaiah Thomas going to run around on one ankle. You know, this team is in a different spot. He's in a different spot. And so I don't know if this is one you would force.
Well, that gets us to, and I gather you have a piece that's going up here any minute, and you led with this, and there's been a lot of talk about this. I was totally misrepresented on the Drew Hill, Chris Harrington podcast, because... And even then, I'm not sure what I think about it.
But I think Drew. I was just answering Drew's question.
I know. Drew misrepresented what it was. Drew. I've talked to Drew about this subsequently. He didn't understand.
Right.
My view had been that if they were to lose last night, that my preference would be taking it two bad options. One would be win Friday and then get smoked by Oklahoma City in four straight games and lose your draft pick. I don't need to see him get smoked by Oklahoma City, and I don't need him to lose their draft pick. The others, you lose Friday, you get your draft pick. You don't have to go through the indignity of losing to Oklahoma City four straight, but you do have the indignity of losing to a bad team at home and missing the playoffs. And I was like, clearly the team is going to do and should do everything it can to win, and every player will do everything. But I can vote what I want in my own heart, what I wish for them. That was my only thing. Although, and Chris, Drew was suggesting, I thought they should do something actionable, was his word. No, of course not. But it is interesting now that you have the Ja ankle.
The Morant thing gives them an actionable thing they could do.
There's an actionable thing.
If they secretly wanted to lose the game.
I don't think they
But did. It could also be something they should do even if they not so secretly
That's
want to win
say.
The game. It's sitting him down, I mean.
If they,
it could be the right move regardless.
Anyway, for health purposes, yes, going on regardless.
Yeah.
I actually started to reconsider. Last night, given how hard they fought, given that culture matters, winning matters, like all, given that I think Zach Edey profits from being in these games, I think I'm just going to be I'm being fine with whatever happens. I think I'm going to abandon my I will prefer it if they lose view. But what do you have to say about all this?
I wrote about it. I'm sure better than I'll be able to talk about it. So I'll refer you. I'll refer to you to my written statement.
I'll see if it's
Your Honor.
In the meantime, yes.
But to me, what I sort of led with was that moment of looking to that Friday game, and you can choose to see it in a win-win frame. You can choose to see it in a lose-lose frame in terms of the outcomes, right? If you want to feel good about it, or not good, if you want to feel better about it, you could say, you know, we win, we're back in the playoffs, we lose, we still get the pick, it's fine either way. You could turn that around and say, it's a bad beat either way.
I think it's bad. I think it's more bad either way, honestly.
Right. But there is that duality to it.
you'll just watch it unfold and react to see what happens and hope.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have no control over it. Right, so that's most definitely what I will do.
Right. That's the other thing. None of us have any control over it. If the goal is to win, who should they want to play?
I did this exercise, which I never wrote about because the Grizzlies rendered it irrelevant to the Grizzlies. But if you look at the 10 West teams in the postseason and you look at their net rating, only four players likely to be in their playoff rotation and get rid of everything else all season that is irrelevant now. Yeah. And just look at that. Dallas is a distant 10th. Sacramento's 9th. Grizzlies drop down to 8 sharply once you take Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells out. Still slightly ahead of the Sacramento as I did it, but Dallas is like way down.
Sacramento is the better team.
Has been the better team with the players are bringing in the playoffs. So that's even taking out Malik Monk, who was injured. But Dallas does have the best player.
Right.
And that is Anthony Davis, and that is a player the Grizzlies have struggled with before. And so I would say you'd rather play Dallas, but I think you could argue either side of that. Given the Grizzlies' defensive issues, Sacramento's a really good offense. And so, I just don't know. I'd probably rather play Dallas in that situation, but you could argue it either way.
And what good could come of the Oklahoma City series?
It's hard to see that going more than 5 games. You cannot rationally talk yourself into that series going more than
18. 5
games.
They've lost by an average of 18.
I do think Edie getting some playoff reps is probably a good thing. I mean, Scottie Pippen, who's never played the playoffs, getting some reps. I think when you got 4 games, it's a little bit, and you're not desperate about it. Like, you're probably going to lose anyway. So, like, you got at least whatever 4 times 48 is minutes of playoff basketball to play with. I think you open the rotation back up and you give Vince Williams some playoff minutes. And if, like, he struggles with it, like, okay, fine, right, you're losing anyway. Maybe you get G.G. Jackson some playoff minutes. Maybe, you're not playing a 6-man rotation for 48 minutes through 4 games. You're just not. And so you open things up a little bit. You get some guys some playoff run. You get some more evidence to judge Tuomas Esalo's decision-making in games. I think it's a mixed bag so far. Like, one of the things we haven't talked about is the coaches challenge. I think he's been pretty bad on coaches challenges.
That was terrible. Yeah.
Not just in that game. I think they've generally been bad. Now, that's a coaching staff thing because the head coach is looking back and getting signals about whether to do this stuff. And I don't think they've been worse at that since the coaching changes. And so
it's a diminished staff now anyway. Not even a complete staff.
You're getting more reps for players who have not been in the playoffs, and you're getting more sample of how Isolo handles the team and handles game situations and that kind of stuff. So there's something to be gained, sure.
All right, so the good news is Chris's piece is up over at the Daily Memphian, and I have tweeted it out. So if you want to read the his more thoughtful disquisition on all of this, you can do that over at the Daily Memphian. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. We got Sam Hardiman coming up next. If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is the one I would suggest, because I suggested it to Claire, and I suggested it to Claire's son, Conroy, and they're both absolutely thrilled. The technology, the app is unbelievably easy, sophisticated. Because it's a credit union, they don't have to, they don't have stockholders they have to pay off. Every dollar goes back into better technology, better rates, better service. It stands to reason that the app is fabulous, and it is. Leaders Credit Union, they've got a branch in Bartlett. They've got a brand new branch in Arlington, but you just have to download the app, leaderscu.com/ESPN. So, Jeffrey, we have other things to talk about. Nico is going into the portal today. That's today, right?
With a do not contact tag.
But a do not. I also, by the way, just for the record, I have a do not contact tag. So we have other things to get to from the world of sports. But Sam Hardiman is going to join us to talk about the city of Memphis when we return. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.